Blues fans, for almost 2 years, you have listened and supported your favorite podcast. Now it's time to get loud and get ready to make some noise tonight, because it's time for the Chirp Podcast.
And we're back. I'm back. Let's go. Episode 50 of the Chirp Podcast. Kel's on the mic. Toss over to Mark. Mark, how we doing, boss?
What's going on, fellas? Beforehand, we all just got to witness a fucking four fights in 50 seconds. Shout out Washington, New York, for reasons that, I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, you know exactly why it happened. Literally a line brawl right off rip. I couldn't be more hyped up. So, Dayson.
Sammy K, how are we?
We are so back, boys. This time last week, I was a fucking mess, and it was disgusting.
But that's fair. I forgot about that.
Yeah, I mean, fuck. A whole week has passed, and we are off that now. Aaron Rodgers is still a Packer for now, and so I'm just taking it day by day. Happy to be back with the boys. Let's go.
Aaron Rodgers is still a Packer. That is facts. I'm still not convinced that's a thing. I mean, he's probably still not going to be a Packer, but hey, live to see another week.
That's where I'm at. Yep. That's what I've been doing.
Anyways, on the show today, we got news in the loo. Obviously, we're going to recap this past week's games, mixing a water. I'll do a little, that's where I'm at, our Viget locks of the week. Then we'll preview the rest of the season, actually, as we have 6 games in like 9 days coming up, so may as well just rip it all out. I think actually 8 days. And then we'll pick up pucks at the end. But first, it's episode 50, which, I mean, I guess we'll just still do it. I don't want to say the guy's name, so I'm not going to. But I also don't know who else I'm going to say.
I got one.
I also have one.
I have one too, but I just don't want to say his name. All right, let's go. 3, 2, 1, Chris Mason.
Corey Crawford.
Jonas Gustavsson.
That is exactly who I didn't want to say, Sammy. Instead, I pulled Chris Mason out of nowhere.
I was all over Corey Crawford. Someone needed to say it.
Yeah.
And you know, you can beak us. We said it last episode, too, I think, with 49 and 47. It's like, all right. I mean, anybody can say Jordan Binnington. Anybody. We're not in that. We're not in the business of saying obvious fucking guys. Instead, we'll just say former Blues legends like Chris Mason.
Yeah.
People forget we traded for him. Well, they don't forget we traded for him. But we went on an absolute bender after we got him and snuck into the playoffs. And we'll talk about this. But anyways, I was going to bring something up, but I'm going to save it. Let's get into some news in the loo. Tonight, we are missing a decent amount of players. Tank, Blay, Krug, Dunn, all out. Krug and Dunn have missed the last few games. Blay and Tank are now added to that mix. Tank has re-aggravated his lower body injury, it looks like. Don't really know what's going on with Sammy Blay. Probably not the worst thing in the world. Do you guys see this as kind of a... look, there's like a 95, actually greater than that, percent chance that we make the playoffs. Let's just kind of take it easy here.
Yeah,
I mean, I think that's kind of what it is. Yeah. Especially with the defenseman.
I'm not really too worried about making the playoffs right now, just with the situation I'm in, with the situation that we're in. By the way, there's another fight in this hockey game. That's 5 now. But I don't hate them sitting out, especially especially with having Anaheim tonight, like, a little bit of a lesser opponent in our division. So I mean, we still got, if 90's in the lineup, we got a shot. So that's where I'm at.
I love that, because everyone thinks the same thing. Like, 90's a guy that can just single-handedly take over a game. So you're allowed to set out some guys whenever the season's winding down. You're most likely going to clinch. I was talking about this with someone, and we were talking about when Klim comes over after his quarantine, this would be a great, perfect time to get some people some rest if they have kind of nagging injuries, to insert Klim and just see what you got with them. Because he came off a pretty nice playoff run where he logged like close to 60 penalty minutes. Guy's fired up. We need him in the lineup.
another one. Ryan Strowman, Lars Eller. That's six fights. What is fucking going on? Oh my
God. Hey. Imagine being like a fucking, well, actually the whole fourth line's in the box probably right now, but you're like a bottom six guy or a third pairing D and literally half your fucking team's in the box. You're getting some extra fucking time out there right now. Dude, literally like what? There's six guys in the box now on each team. It's literally a third of each team's in the box. There's some guys getting some extra run right now on the ice that didn't fight. That's sick.
Oh my God. Unbelievable.
Like, hey, we're going to, you're going to go every other for the next few. Decent. This is what I've lived for. This is like, well, I was going to say Kyle Clifford, but he would have been the first guy in the box if he was on the fucking ice for the.
We would have started our fourth line, like little Barbie, Kyle Clifford action. They would fight. They'd line brawl if they have to.
They would honestly probably, this sounds so bad to say. We would honestly probably throw Zach Sanford out there to fight.
Yeah. Dude, this is
and get his and ass beat. It's not the worst thing in the world because, well, maybe depending on who he goes, he's fought two or three times this year already, but he's also off the ice for at least 5 minutes.
Yeah. that's a win right there.
I wanted to bring this up before we move on. We have four players that have played in every game so far. Do you guys know who they are?
90. There's
four guys still going.
Justin Falk.
Justin DP. Falk. All right, you're three. You got out three now. Who's the fourth one?
Fuck.
10.
Braden Schenn.
There it is.
No wrong guesses. I love it.
Let's go.
Fuck nice.
Yeah. Let's go, Blues.
I'd say the first three were kind of obvious. Not obvious, but I mean, we could probably all think of that pretty quickly. Those three.
90 just doesn't miss games. So
yeah, no.
Then I was between 17 and 10, and I was like, let's think about this.
DP doesn't play 17. Yeah. DP doesn't play greasy enough to miss games. Mike Hoffman honestly should probably be in that group, being show me a guy who plays less of a physical game. I think there's one. His name's Patrick Kane. It's like, if he's, you know,
people do forget, I will say, after these past couple years, that Tarasenko was a guy who never missed hockey games. Like before his first shoulder injury, he did not miss hockey games at all. He was playing 82 games no matter what, giving you like up to 70 points. There's a guy that often gets forgotten about in the old injury department.
You brought him up. So Hockey Hound apparently is trying to stir some shit. Did you see that tweet that I quoted? Said that he thinks that
to move him. Yeah.
Move it. What do we think about that?
Can't
I think that's
it.
A terrible idea.
I understand.
Dude, it's
it
a shoulder. It's like J-Bo, bro, with his hip. It's like, it's not just going to click.
Right. Yeah.
And honestly, by the time you trade him this offseason, he gets a whole nother offseason to get stronger and really get back into form. He's only 29, 30 years old. I mean, you trade him, he would put up 70 points and 40 goals on wherever he went next year.
Absolutely.
Guaranteed.
100% work. Literally, Jeff and I were just talking about this. He's a guy that would pot 60 if he wasn't on the Blues. You can't do it for that reason alone.
Yeah, because, I mean, we just don't play that kind of hockey.
And his value is probably at an all-time low. It absolutely is.
Yeah. Just imagine if he played in the East, just as a conference in general. Like,
Rangers.
Oh my God. Put him you got Mika in the middle with Tank and fucking, I don't know. Well,
Panarin. He's okay.
Holy fuck.
Yeah. And his buddy. I mean, Jesus Christ. That'd be unreal.
Yeah, that might work.
Yeah. Sammy brought him up. Clint Costin arrived in St. Louis, I believe today, Tuesday.
Yesterday.
It is Wednesday. We are recording on Wednesday. He does have to quarantine for a week, I believe. I don't know if that ever got set in stone, but that is kind of the going rate right now for out of country. Anybody who got traded at the trade deadline into Canada had to quarantine for a week. I get that was Canadian rules and whatnot, but I would think it's probably still the same. So I think it's a week that he has to quarantine. You might get a game or two in. We do play Wednesday and Thursday to end our season out next week against Minnesota. Like you said, I would be shocked if he didn't play in both of those games. And hey, we'll take it.
See what you got in the kid. You might need him for playoffs if he's really fucking good. If he goes out there and bangs like 8 hits in 11 minutes, 12 minutes of ice time, you can consider putting him in for playoffs.
I mean, Zach should already be watching out. What do you mean?
Yeah, I know.
Zach... Fucking Jesus Christ. I'd throw Costin some fucking Zach tape during his quarantine and be like, all right, here you go. Don't do any of this. And you'll literally be in the lineup for the rest of the year. Dakota Joshua, he got sent back to the AHL last week. He's back up on the taxi squad. I don't know if rosters are going to expand in the playoffs or whatnot this year.
The taxi squad's
already a thing, so I don't know.
That is the Black Aces, essentially. Yeah,
it has been all year. So I'd be interested to see if he's, you know, a Black Ace for this playoff run. I would hope so, because if for some reason we do run into a lot of injuries, that's a guy who can definitely play on a fourth line. I mean, he gives you a heavy 8-9 minutes.
Heavy.
And I mean heavy. Jesus Christ. They'll put you through the glass and then fucking cycle pucks. And maybe run your goaltender. Who knows? Speaking of running your goaltender, Sean Avery, I listened to his podcast today. He said somebody paid for a cameo and they asked him what he would do to Tom Wilson. And it was a different answer than what he gave on his podcast. On his podcast, he said he would literally run their goalie. He wouldn't even go after Tom Wilson. He goes, think about it. They're the most vulnerable people out there. And I'm not going to go Tom Wilson, because it's like, that's like you're paying one guy back almost, or you're only really affecting one guy there. Like, I'm just gonna run the goalie.
That's a Hayden Crocker special.
Run the goalie.
See, I don't know if you. I mean, you've only played against Crocker like, whenever he was on Car Shield and shit. But whenever I played with him at Umsl, I mean, this guy's a hell of a player. He's fucking sick. Like he won the score. Like he, to put this into perspective, he won a scoring title 2 out of the 3 years I was there in our division, which included Lindenwood. So that's pretty good. But I mean, he was just a shithead. Like, you hate playing against this guy, and he's like he was the fucking Marsh Hand of roar hockey. And there was a game we played against UCF, and it was either UCF or I think it was.
I'm
UCF.
Impressed they have a fucking roller program.
They're not bad. Yeah, they're not bad. No, it was either them or Cal Poly. I can't remember which one it was, but basically, I mean, he was going hard, and he runs the goalie over, just full bore. Going from the side of the net, doesn't try to stop, just runs him over. And as he's getting up, he wasn't paying attention, and he stepped on the fucking guy's head.
Oh no!
With his skate.
Oh no!
Oh, it was terrible. And like a goalie still had his bucket on, so like it was fine. But I mean, literally, just as he's getting up, he just like stepped down, like he was getting up, and then was like, "Oh fuck, I just stepped on this guy's head."
Boom, line brawl.
It was. It started a whole scrum. He got kicked out. A couple of their guys got tossed. It was fucked.
Even if you accidentally do it, I can't imagine anyone's ever stayed in a hockey game after stepping on an opposing player's head.
Nope. It's usually not. No, you're not staying in the hockey game. You got tossed 100%.
No shot.
Pretty wild story.
It's tough to, like, I mean, I would assume 90% of those incidents, I mean, if you're stepping on somebody's head, I would fucking hope that's an accident. That is so
it was fucked. It was absolutely.
I get that it's
getting up, like
we're talking roller here, so it's not like he has a skate blade.
Yeah,
but still, it's fucked, obviously.
Yeah, it's still fucked.
200 pound individual, average male, 170, 200 pounds,
yeah,
like on your fucking head.
Yeah, he literally got up, didn't know, like, I mean, because he ran him over, it caused a pile in general. He's shorter than me, but he's stockier, so he's probably like 175, 180. I
don't care if you're 100 pounds, it's going to hurt.
Yeah,
you thought what Tom Wilson did was bad.
Yeah.
Fucking guy.
Yeah. He's a shithead.
Let me get player safety on him. Yeah. Jeez.
George.
George. Speaking of plugs, George Peros, Steven Santini, 2-year, two-way extension. We're going to leave it at that because – it's literally the only fucking thing we need to say is he got extended. I mean, if he plays in the NHL extensively, I'd be stunned. But nonetheless, he will be wherever our AHL team is next year. By the way, Vancouver moved their AHL team, which is who we are currently sharing the AHL with in Utica. It's in New York. So who's ready to have a fucking farm team that is just nowhere near? Actually, I guess we'd go back to Springfield. We were supposed to be there this year and they just didn't play, which is still in Massachusetts, nowhere near our fucking city. So cool.
cool.
Former Blue Ryan Miller announces he will retire at the end of this season. I don't know about you guys. I mean, I thought we were in the cup when we traded for this guy. He had 19 regular season games with us, 10-8-1, 2.47 goals against, pretty solid, but a .903 save percentage, pretty shaky. And then in the playoffs, which is when we really had the meltdown. Again, not a bad goals against, but in six games, 2-4, 2.7 goals against. You can live with that, but we all are also forgetting we just didn't score goals in the playoffs for the longest time. And an .897 save percentage. Just a thought here. We gave him a tribute to, not a tribute, but we acknowledged him on Monday night against.
He had his curtain call.
Yeah. But anyways, I know how Marky feels about this because I asked him about this already. But Sammy, did you think we were winning the cup when we traded for him?
I think that at that time of being a Blues fan, that was like the first time of my life where I was truly, truly let down by the Blues not doing anything in playoffs. Like, I legit thought we were winning the whole thing.
Thanks,
like,
Patty.
We got a legit goalie now, a number one goalie. We're fucking going all the way because, like, we kind of didn't have that before Ryan Miller.
We had a tandem.
Exactly. We always had a tandem, and we kind of still did all the way up until Jake Allen. And so that's kind of just the Blues way. But having that 1A goalie, I was like, we're winning the whole thing. And I was truly let down by the Blues that year.
Thanks, Patty.
Yeah. Was that Patty that went that literally horrible five-hole goal?
Yep. And the B-way in overtime.
It was a Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews show from game three.
Was it a B-way in overtime, or was it just from like the left side and he ripped? I can't remember. I think it was like
Did you want
Jonathan Toews out of the box?
No, that's what I'm thinking of. Toews was out of the box. Kane was from
in overtime.
Side. Yeah. Kane was the one that ripped from the side. Yeah.
But yeah. Anyways. Not a long career, but something to make note of just because I wanted to bring up the fact that, wow, I thought we were fucking in one that year. By the way, how old do you think he was when we traded for him?
29.
27.
33.
Oh, my God.
He's 40 right now. I just didn't know that. I don't know. I guess time flies by and whatnot, but he was 33
feels like 10 years
when
ago.
We traded for him.
That's insane. I remember where I was for that behind the All-American desk. Who's shocked?
It happened at night, didn't it? Because I remember going to school buzzing the next day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely buzzing.
Yeah, we were winning the cup, dude. We were in one.
Speaking of Cloud Nine, that's his guy.
Oh, yeah.
He's always going to be respected as one of the better U.S. goalies of our time, at least.
Marky, I think we talked about this the other day. He thinks he's the best. I still say Quick because of cups. That's probably it, though, because of cups.
I'm
stats are real similar, though.
Yeah, stats are incredibly similar in just how long he played. So that's just – if Quick puts a couple more under his belt, then it's Quick.
He will be in the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame, though. I mean, that's a lot.
They talked about it on Chiklis Day. They don't think he's going to make the actual Hall either. And after I looked at the list of goalies that are in the Hall, I completely agree. So what I said last week, completely retract that shit. But, yeah.
Former captain, Blues legend, maybe the classiest player to ever put on the blue note in my lifetime. He's likely to retire at the end of the season. It's not been announced, but you just read the quotes. I mean, he said it himself today. Probably his last time he's going to be playing in St. Louis. Tonight, he will be in the lineup. 727 games played, 460 points, 206 of them were tucks. 969 PIMs and a plus 65 here in St. Louis. The Minnesota State product, David fucking Backes.
Yeah.
I would go to a fucking war for this guy. I mean, what's your guys' favorite David Backes memory?
So it's not my favorite, but the one that sticks out in my head just like completely is the fucking damn near heartbreaking interview after the San Jose series.
Oh, fuck.
That was fucking
my heart was actually
horrible, dude. Literally so bad.
I didn't even get to watch it. I was graduating from high school that night.
That is bullshit. You missed it.
Then we went to interview. Yeah, and then we went to Senior Slam after. I obviously saw it eventually, but I'm like, I didn't watch any of the game, nothing. And then it was just like, yep, we got canned. We were listening to it on the way back to Fenton and on the radio, and by that time the game was out of hand, so it was just a slow, painful death. And then I went to Senior Slam afterwards up at the high school, so it's like, all right, I saw none of it. It was fucked. But my favorite David Backus memory, this is a little under the radar just because, I mean, it wasn't the biggest thing in the world, but like, so the year, I already referenced it, we traded for Chris Mason, dude. The season turned around in Boston. He scored with less than a second left. Do you remember that? He batted it out of the air.
Yep.
Batted it out of the air, less than a second left, forced OT. We won, went on an absolute bender the rest of the regular season after that. And then probably lost in the first round. I don't really remember what year that was, but still, it was probably the year. I guess we would have played LA that year. I mean, that just feels right. Anyways, that's probably my favorite David Backus memory. Are you in on the tears, Sammy?
Oh, I was everywhere with the tears.
I got another one.
After the Sharks game six, where we lost.
You could say his overtime goal against the Hawks, but like he threw it in off a skate. Like, yeah, it was.
Going to reference that because Big Scott and I actually went to that game. We were at game one, sat with the Murphys, Sam, Kevdog, and Kim. Shout out Goat Family. And we were sitting by them. Longest fucking game ever, boys. It felt so long. 0-0 the entire time. We're getting pumped with shots. No one thought that David Backus' little throw to the net was going to go in off like fucking Jalmerson's knee and in on the ice. So greasy, so perfect. David Backus, I was in one. That sticks out to me the most only because it was just the longest game ever.
And then I think you've told me before you were at game two when Jax won it in overtime.
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah. He threw up the X, dude. That was gas. And it was so greasy, dude. So greasy. Everything about Bear Jackman screams, I live in the blue paint. I muscle people out of blue paints.
Yep. Yeah. And this is actually probably something I texted into our group chat, but Joey Vitale, former Penguin, obviously St. Louis native, he obviously played with Sidney Crosby, and Crosby told him that those were the two players that we just brought up, Backus and Jackman, that he hated playing against the most when they were in the league.
Which is fair.
That's so sick. Yeah. I mean, I was never like a Jackman fucking stan by any means, but he was tough to play against.
Yeah. You know,
he was just easy to walk. That was the downfall with Barry Jackman, in my opinion.
You think of Barry Jackman and David Backus, you know the brand of hockey you're gonna be getting if you're playing them. You know exactly. It's going to be north and south, big, physical, and you know what? We're not going to talk to you while we do it, and it's going to be slow and painful.
Remember whenever Backus and everybody got back from the Olympics and he fought three fucking Canadians back-to-back-to-back
games? It was not after, I don't think. I think it was before.
Was it before Sochi?
Because they asked him about it today.
Yeah.
Yep.
He said he wanted to fight all those big guys. Who is it? Taze, Rick Nash, I want to say.
And the other one, Ben.
There was three guys. But they asked him about it today. And he said it's because he knew that it's like you get tossed in the Olympics if you fight.
So he's like, I'm fighting.
He wanted to get it out of the way beforehand and be like, fuck you.
Fuck out of that. Also, Keller, breaking news, Shane Pinto, first goal.
What?
Oh my god.
Are you serious?
I swear to god. Yes, I swear to god he scored.
1-0.
1-0. Shane Pinto, right?
Did you see it?
Yes, I just saw it on Twitter. He scored.
Keller needs it.
Yeah.
Here it comes.
Hold on. Oh so yeah. Crazy.
Yeah.
Best goal horn in hockey.
Stop.
Anyways, now nobody's going to pick up on why I just erupted.
But wow, that was unreal. Holy
shit. Long story short, me and Marky have a college hockey podcast, and he's probably easily my favorite player in college this past couple years. So, and he's on my secondary Ottawa Senators secondary team, and, you know, he's going to be good. He's going to be really fucking good. And
he's going to play a long time.
Yeah. Anyways, that is out of the way. Holy shit.
Dude, I saw that like 5 minutes ago. I was like, please don't see it. Please don't see it. Because I wanted to get through the David Backus shit. That was too good.
Hey, just a little nugget for you boys. There were 72 penalty minutes dished out before the 15-minute mark of that Rangers-Caps game.
That's so decent.
72 penalty minutes. What are we doing recording and not fucking nose
bagging ourselves? Why aren't we bagging? Why aren't we finding somebody?
I'm picking up pucks. That's a fact.
Well, gonna be tough after all of that to recap some games, but let's just talk about it a little bit. We don't have to go crazy since we're gross, but last, what was it, Thursday, beat the Minnesota Wild in overtime off a back-to-back. We blew the game. They tied it with under a minute left to go to overtime. And I mean, Ryan O'Reilly, what the fuck? I think, you know, Sammy, you're going to have, is his backhand and Patrick Kane's on the same level? I need a take.
Even I'm here for Patty Kane backhands. 90s in the same class, but let's not forget about Sidney Crosby. Sidney Crosby's backhand, I think,
is a forehand.
It's the best.
I was going to say it's those three.
Yeah, those three are in a class of their own in terms, in the backhand department at least. Just a regular shot, forehand shot. I mean, Patty and Crosby, they have good ones. But backhands, 90 just makes it look sexual.
Yeah.
Dude, it's his shootout move every time. Every single time.
Patty's like the one who fucking started that shootout move, where he just comes in straight, doesn't even make a move, just pulls it backhand and kind of moves, shifts his body left and keeps it backhand and just fucking lifts it. So gross.
Unbelievable feed from Jordan Kyrou.
God, what a pass.
Dude, so obviously in overtime, teams have started to adjust 3-on-3, so it's kind of boring in my opinion now, 3-on-3. It's not as much end-to-end anymore. It's a lot of roller hockey, and I mean a lot. A lot of like, all right, gain the zone, hate it, let's regroup. Like, it's...
That's the smartest way to do it, though.
It is definitely. I'm not saying it's a bad, like, a bad strategy or not the way you should play it, because obviously you want the puck, but you don't see a lot of end-to-end action anymore. And Kyrou kind of approaches the blue line, pulls up, turns around, you know, heads back towards the D zone. The other two guys change, and it's looking like he's just going to like wait it out and then just fucking almost pretty much no look snaps it to 90 right as he's crossing the blue line in for a breakaway. That was a disgusting feed from Jordan.
It's just such a gross goal, dude. They're so sick. 90 just caps it off and it's like, God damn, I love this team. Because it's Ryan O'Reilly and his celly was wet.
Yeah.
So sick, actually. So sick. He's starting to get into the celly game. I wonder if...
A little more emotion now with that C on his chest.
We might need to talk to old friend of the pod, former Chirp guest, Brian O'Reilly, and get his take on Ryan Celly's.
We might. We might.
Remember, because we did ask him about that. That was over 2 years ago.
And he's like, Ryan's just appreciative, man. If you don't point to the guy, you're not going to get the puck back. I was like, fuck yeah, Brian.
He goes, I taught him that. He's like, no, you're not scoring without that pass. So I made sure to tell him that growing up. It's like,
one of the classier guests we've had on our pod.
Oh, absolutely. My brain in a fucking pretzel, though. Gee.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Not a bad game from Husso, but any game with Ville Husso is going to involve three goals against, most likely. So you just got to bring the offensive game. And we did. Marco chipped in the goal-scoring department. Pretty wild, but nonetheless, we did come out with a W despite trying to blow the fucking game. Put a power play goal up on the board, put a shorty on the board. Tyler Bozak, he has two of those this year.
Bozak's been great recently. Yeah. Oh my God.
He's just classy, dude. He's
been one of the driving forces of this hockey team for the past month and a half now.
That game, he played 16 and a half minutes, minute power play, minute on the PK, 56% on the dot, and scored a shorthanded goal. So it's like,
and I remember kind of slandering Bozak, and I want to take a second here. I remember kind of slandering the guy earlier this season about his game, and you know, it attests it attests to why I was saying that. There's another level that Tyler Bozak, when he's not playing well, there's another level that he can get to, even without scoring goals, that he can stand out and he can help push a team towards 2 points, even if he's not scoring. Because to be quite honest with you, you look at Tyler Bozak now and it's not, you're not looking at a guy who you expect to score every other game. So he found ways, and he's playing fucking fantastic. He's finding ways to basically say, you know what, even without the puck on the dot, PK, I'm going to be everywhere for you. And that's been a real turn on lately for me, is watching 21 and Blue get after it.
He does what you, he just does what you need out of a fucking classy centerman. You know,
he really does.
Yeah. Doesn't hurt you. I mean, helps you when you can, doesn't hurt you. That's the biggest part. He's not hurting us at all.
Like a perfect line center, perfect third line center.
Yes.
Yes. It's yeah. And he's 35 still. He's like not young and he's still getting it done, playing a classy game. This year, I mean, he's been injured. He was out for a stretch there, but he's got 14 points in 26 games. I mean, he's chipping in, that's for sure, and he's playing 15 minutes a night. So
it's beautiful, and it's been almost 3 years since we've had him, and he's played the same exact way, hasn't changed a bit from when we first got him. So that just shows pure class, seasoned veteran.
55% on the dot too, but who's counting? Moving on to the Saturday game against Minnesota. We lose that one. We blew the lead again. Didn't get the extra point in overtime. We got to talk about this Kyrou Thomas Hoffman line, though. I mean, they're starting to put something together here, and I hope Chief keeps them intact moving forward. And honestly, he is, because tonight, unfortunately, Zach Sanford's playing on the second line, not Mike Hoffman, in absence of Tarasenko and Blay. But if that's at the expense of keeping Kyrou Thomas Hoffman together, I mean, these guys are showing some flashes, showing some skill, something this city doesn't know a lot about. So,
and 68's got some line mates now that actually have talent and can feed them the puck rather than putting them with fucking Zach Sanford.
There was a couple shifts in that game where I don't know if it was the Anaheim game or that Saturday game. They weren't even necessarily cycling the puck. They were just skating around the offensive zone and
skating
just
circles.
Yes. It's just like, just, you know, handing the puck off here and there and, you know, skating circles around people, which, I mean.
I can't believe it's come this far into the season to have to say this, but boys, we might have found something with this fucking line here. I mean, this is a line that could get you through playoffs. If you get them going and you have your regular guys stepping up, this is a fucking line here, boys. This is something. This is something. Because you got Thomas and Kyrou, you let them play together and just grow. And you got Hoffman, feed him.
I love it. Let's talk about the Ducks game. Just another fucking day that ends in Y. Bobby Bortz, game winner.
Fuck
in the blue paint, nonetheless. My
God. Belly.
He goes to a knee. I've never seen him do that.
Fuck yeah.
No skill gets on the board. That is Braden Schenn. I mean, nothing, not honestly that exciting of a game outside of Bobby Bortz getting on the fucking board, but that's kind of what you need to do against these. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that. The start to the game was an absolute track meet, but it settled down as the game went on, and nothing crazy. Jordan Binnington was really good in this game, and you know, Ryan O'Reilly gets that empty netter with 8 seconds left, which cashed me in on a $500 parlay. Thanks for coming. And it also allowed David Perron to notch his 400th point as a Blue, 600th career point in his 600th game as a Blue, and 900th career NHL game. So 4 milestones, one night. I know that makes Sammy happy.
I don't understand how that all aligns on one night. But you know what, boys? It's absolutely perfect for David Perron. He got his big fucking night. He's smiling ear to ear the whole fucking way.
And those Jays, too.
Shoulders pressed out. He's fucking loving it. He can have his night. I'm glad he got a point.
I'm glad he got a point.
Oh. Empty netter. So I mean, take it for what it's worth. But, yeah, congrats.
It also... Okay, never mind. I was going to say, I think it was a secondary, but it definitely wasn't. He got the puck out of the zone, at least. And we're talking about backhands. Ryan O'Reilly backhanded that over the defenseman into the net. thanks for coming. Let's get into, you guys want to do That's Where I'm At? You guys, can you get something fired up in the take machine, or should we move on?
I mean, the only thing I got for That's Where I'm At is this fucking 25-18-68 line is literally nasty. That's about the only thing I got.
Yep. They are fucking gross.
All right. Well,
we can beat here. I was talking to Jeff about this earlier. We can beat Vegas and Minnesota. I'm so in on it. Reeves kind of scares me on Vegas. He ain't fucking beating Colorado, though. I just don't see it. You have to get some fucking bounces and a shitty goalie performance.
Or hope they're still hurt.
Exactly. And I hate to be the Debbie Downer of the podcast, but someone's got to do it.
All right.
So I just want to let you know that's where I'm at.
The take machine is here. I'm ready. If we draw Minnesota in the first round, we will make the conference final. That's where I'm at. Because we don't have to go through both Vegas and Colorado. We'd only have to go through whoever came out on top in that series. And I honestly don't know who that would be. But I think regardless, if we get through that first round, which I think we would against Minnesota, get a little confidence going, going into one of the few juggernauts in the NHL. I think that we could we'd give them a run for the money. It'd probably go six, maybe seven games. Honestly, if we're winning the series, probably seven games. But nonetheless, that's where I'm at. If we draw Minnesota round one, I think we go to the conference final, which means we would win our division, obviously.
I love it.
So that's where I'm at. Let's get into some bigot locks of the week. 2-1 as a group last week. I had Kings over the Ducks. They'd get a 2-1 victory off an overtime loss. Just what I expected. I'm 5-5 on the year now. Marky takes Vegas on the puck line against Arizona. They get shut out. Not good.
When they're winning
4-6 on the year,
they go in 10 straight W's and they lay a goose egg when I take them.
Flip side of that, though, this was bound to happen.
Yeah.
10 straight.
I know.
Not the most surprising thing in the world. Again, I included this on my my gambling website, where I toss actual money. This was in one of my parlays. So I'm not going to sit here and say I saw this coming, but not super surprised, being that they were on a 10-game bender, bound to play bad one night. And then Sammy had Avs over the Sharks on the puck line by two. They come out 3-0. Three rip, big dub. Sammy hits. He's 7-2-1 now on the year. If we keep doing this through the playoffs, we and Marky might have a chance. But if not, Sammy's going to fucking take this crown this year.
I'm making the people some fucking money. That's what I like doing. I don't want just some random fucking Hurricanes over Blackhawks money line. That's not what I'm here for. I'm giving the people locks. Let me start you off with one right here, because I see that I'm the only one who has one down.
I have one on my phone.
On Thursday night, Montreal's playing at Toronto. Right now, the over set at 5.5. If you don't think that game's going over 5.5, check your fucking pulse or turn on a hockey game every once in a while with the Maple Leafs playing in it. I think the Leafs could fucking score six on their own. So I'm obviously in on the over here. Hammer 500 coins. You'll break out even, I'm pretty sure. I think it might actually be 500 to win like 450 or 400. So, but still, that should show you how much of a lock it is.
Yeah. It looks like we're all going to go on the over train. I do my fucking homework when I look at these bets every day, and picking a day in advance like we do on this podcast, it doesn't allow me to do that. But just from doing this all year, I know that this is potentially the biggest lock that has been dropped on this podcast.
No way. Nope. No way. No shot. I fucking hit you. I hit you with the what was the one I went back to back on? Where the second time they fucking Hurricanes. No, it was Panthers.
It was the same bet. It's the same bet. Yeah,
it was the Hurricanes over the Jackets, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
2 weeks in a row, puck line. Boom. Second one was
these guys go over in every single game they play. Give me Chicago, Carolina over six. Bet 500. You'll make 416. I mean, Hurricanes are a fucking wagon. They're the best team in the NHL right now, points wise, and probably will finish that way. And the Hawks, while they may not be the best team in the league, I mean, they could throw three goals on the board. I mean, the goal scoring is not necessarily their issue. They can't keep pucks out of their own net. Lankinen's helped a little bit with that this year, but consistency wise, no. Give me the over six, Carolina and Chicago.
I like it.
The full disclosure, I wanted what Marky's picking for only one reason, but I'll let him explain.
Yeah, it's a very short explanation. But yeah, I got Edmonton versus Vancouver, line six, hammer the over at minus 116, 500 to win 430. And one reason only, Connor's going for 100. He's going to have three on his own. So you only need three other goals to push, four to fucking win. There you go.
Boom.
Simple as that. Connor. The 97 effect is going to make you money.
There it is. Our Viget Locks of the Week, of course. Download the app. Join our league. V-I-G-I-T is the app. Viget. Our league is The Chirp. Referral code The Chirp, all one word, capital T, capital C. Win some greasy prizes like Amazon gift cards, Roku TVs, even a PS5. Toss that in there. Why not? I mean, one of these days... I think that's how Sammy's going to pay for his PS5 that is in the works.
I'm working on it, baby. I'm working. I'm going to get it.
You just can't take the bait if you hit $100 on that Amazon gift card. You can't take the bait. You're like,
I won't do it. Keep going.
That's like winning the first or second round in the playoffs and being content. Like, nope, we got our eyes on something bigger.
I wanted to see if it was legit, and it's legit. So now I'm going for it big time.
There you go.
Rest of the week preview tonight. The game is actually getting ready to start here in a few minutes. Blues Ducks, I believe it'll be Binnington. I don't know if Anaheim's, I mean, their goalie's obviously been announced by now, but I think Gibson was projected to go. I don't know if he's in. That was a matchup the other night, but Binnington's back in net for us tonight. Over/under is 5.5. Blues are obviously heavy favorites. I like the under in this game actually, because I don't think the Ducks are going to score more than two goals. And, you know, I think we kind of play down to our opponents sometimes. So give me a 3-2 Blues victory. I can't do that. No, I'm not doing that. Give me Mike Hoffman on the game winner. This third line is going to, it's really our second line tonight, but this line is going to show something again. And give me Mike Hoffman on the game winner.
Marky.
Give me the fucking repeat of the last tilt. Give me 3-1, another good Benny night. Feel like this game's going to be a little, I don't know, we're going to keep this one under wraps with the injuries and everything, play a little more defensive hockey, but we're going to need to score as well. You know what, give me 18 with the game winner. This fucking line's buzzing. I want to see a kid score. I don't know how he's going to score because he didn't shoot, but he's going to score. Rob Tom, winner.
I love that. Anytime someone picks my guy, Robert Thomas, I'm in on it. I like Blues 5-2 in this one, boys. I like the Blues to get a scoring touchback. It's all about 90 and David Perron right now. They're at least going to get three of their own. On the game-winning goal, I'm off the fucking board here. I'm literally everywhere. Colton Parayko is fucking getting one tonight.
Please.
Because it's been a minute. And he's popping off tonight against the Ducks. Colton Parayko.
He has exactly one bingo this year in 27 games.
Yeah, so. I'd fucking love for that guy to score.
Yep.
So does Torrey Krug, and he's played 48 games. So
yeah, he's got fucking 73 assists, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, 28 to be exact.
There you go.
Close enough.
Yeah, that's close.
Obviously an exaggeration, of course. But anyways, rest of the week, we got back-to-back at Vegas, both 9 o'clock games this weekend. And then we're Monday in LA, 9 o'clock. So we're getting buried with these 9 o'clock starts, but you know what? We haven't had them all year. So if you want to bag us in these hopefully meaningless games after we clinch tonight, hopefully, then you know what? Won't be a big deal. And then Wednesday, Thursday, back to back at home to finish the season off. We got Minnesota, both 7 o'clock PM drops. Hope to see Klim Kostin in these. And honestly, if we clinch early, you're probably going to see Ville Husso for at least two of these games because we cannot move up in the standings. Obviously, we're still going to need to play Binnington in probably two of these games just to keep him fresh. But I think the process is going to be more important in these games. Just make sure we're building good habits going into the playoffs, playing a good game, but also giving your starting goaltender a break. Yeah, that's where I'm at. And hopefully, like I said, Klim gets in those last two games, and we'll see what happens. Picking up pucks. Sammy said he wanted to pick up pucks, so he's going to pick up pucks.
I'll do it because I'm a fraud and I'm not watching the fucking Rangers game right now.
You're going to be watching the Blues game here soon. But speaking of games that you can watch our games on Twitch. That is NHL 21 Eshel, our club. Twitch.tv/STLChirp. Got Jake Wallman and myself.
Got, I need a name change. I'll say it.
Yeah, I mean, you need a fucking goddamn, I don't know. I was going to pull somebody. Maybe Jeff Wojtka.
That's not a bad one. See, that's the thing. I don't know where to head.
Jeff Wojtka.
Johnny's been classy. So
Mike Weaver.
I like that. I like Mike Weaver.
Mike Weaver.
We're Mike everywhere. Weaver's not bad.
Sammy, who are you? You change your fucking guy every day.
I'm Eric Lindros, baby.
Decent.
I found my guy. I'm sticking with it.
One of the best power forwards ever. Career was obviously cut short, but, I mean, that guy.
Whew. Fucking force.
That's what I model my game after. Big-time power forward, such as Eric Lindros.
Shut up TikTok on the sheesh. Viget, obviously, we mentioned it already. Join our league. Don't know how many members we're at. Over 90. Checks out. We're getting after it. Reach out if you want to join the show. Again, we're horrible. We still have not put this together. We still have 2 to 3 guys waiting in the wings. But, hey, maybe we just rip them all at once and just have an absolute gong show of a fucking epic.
Right before playoffs?
Right before playoffs. You get all 3 guys in here that want to be on. I don't think – yeah, definitely don't. All 3 of them don't know each other. I mean, T-Bucket and Carlo are familiar with each other, but I'm saying fucking Wingo. Wingo, by the way, might have to drop the video to that podcast just so everybody can see his fucking muzzy. We'll make sure it's dialed in before so he doesn't have a fucking beard. That would not be classy, even though beards are very classy. We might have to make that happen for the playoff show. But anyways, like I said,
Wingo was going to come on, but he was dadding it up. He was making dinner when we were getting ready to record, so that's the way she goes.
Yeah, well, and we had some delays on our end, so it's
we did fuck indeed. It. We did indeed.
Anyways, that'll about wrap this one up. We got a puck drop literally right now, probably. Mark, when can you listen to us?
Thursdays on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever's downloaded on your mobile device. And wherever you press play, just make sure that you're pressing play on the chirp. That's what I got.
And just a heads up, I think I've brought this up already. Next week, we will be dropping on Friday just to put a bow on the season as our last game is on Thursday. Sammy, any final words? Might be clinching a playoff spot tonight.
I'm feeling that we're clinching a playoff spot tonight, boys. You already heard my take on it. I will say, next time we talk to these guys, next time we come together and have our little chat like we do every week, you're going to see we're going to be fucking up in the playoffs, baby. So we're going to be all excited next week. And till then, we'll be thinking about you guys, like always.
Of course. Puck is dropping, so we got to get the fuck out of here.
Real quick, though, before we get out of here. Last night was David Backus's last game at Enterprise and possibly the last game of his long career. So we want to kick it over to something a little special that the St. Louis Blues put together for him last night in our game against the Anaheim Ducks.
Backus has got his parents, Steve and Karen, here in attendance as well, and several friends, and very special for the fans here in St. Louis. What an emotional response. Hats off to the fans here in St. Louis. Captain of 5 years, David Backus, and again, the fans given an overwhelming response to their former captain, which it has not been announced, and I know it's been an emotional evening for David Backus. Can't be easy, I'm sure, making a decision to pack up the skates and maybe retire, but I know playing here in St. Louis was very, very special for David Backus, for his teammates, for former members of the Blues. And David, we are pleased to have you here, and I can't imagine the emotion that you're feeling right now, David.
No, you can't. Such a special place, special place to play, special place to live, and to play what's probably my last game in this building in front of these fans in this city is it's the way I would have written it if I could have written it, and got to live it. Very blessed and very appreciative.
Well, you can tell the fans feel the same way, David.
Thank you.
965 NHL games coming from Minnesota and playing high school hockey and college hockey. Could you have ever imagined after being a second-round pick?
Still feels like a dream. It's out of this world. Just so fortunate, so blessed. So many people along the way that have just poured into me, helped me along the way, from Walt letting me live at his house to start and teaching me the ropes to, you know, my wife and my kids and my parents that are here tonight drove down from Minnesota. So, you know, coaches, teammates, guys on the other team, you know, that was over and above what I expected. And, you know, really heartfelt, and I'll remember this forever.
Well, if you're emotional now, I'd like you to look at the Jumbotron. I'm sorry to do this, David, but your beautiful wife, Kelly, and your kids, Stella and Dawson, have a message for you.
Hi, my love.
Hi, Daddy.
Babe, we've been your number one fans and supporters over the last 15 years, and my goodness, what an amazing journey it has been. Just being able to watch you play a game that you love and use your gifts and your professional platform for good truly has been such a blessing. To the St. Louis community and organization and fans, thank you for allowing us to call this city our home. We love you, David. Say love you, Daddy.
Love Daddy.
I appreciate my little man being such a wild animal. He takes after mom, obviously, but man, thank you to everyone. This is too much.
David, your parents, I know they're here, Steve and Karen, but the other day you mentioned to us broadcasters that they always stress, start something, you have to finish it.
Yep.
Have you done it, pal?
I think so. It's been a great ride, an amazing ride, and just so blessed to have played this game for 15 years. So thanks to everyone that's been a part of it, cheered me on, booed me, whatever you had to do to get in the seats. I appreciate everyone.
David, thank you so much for doing this. You've always been a class act. I know I represent everybody on TV side and everybody in the organization. And welcome to the Blues alumni, the NHL alumni, whenever you make that official decision. Okay, pal?
I appreciate that. Looking forward to those skates. I think I might be a couple of years maybe still.
David, thank you.
Thanks,
congratulations.
Brian. Appreciate you.
Okay, thanks very much, boy. Wow. Want emotion? Fellas, you got it.